I didn't go to Young Life, so I was not in on your little deal there, Rob. But I'm glad you all found a parking place. I'm just glad I came early tonight. The topic we're going to talk about tonight is apathy and idleness. And I know we all, to some extent, have that issue with ourselves, and we've got it in the ways we help each other. And so what we did is we just gave you a couple of scenarios. I'm going to touch on a couple of things that are in those just to get us thinking about real-life situations. And so, you know, the first one, you got someone that continues to be lukewarm. Your group's been together for a number of years. Every 9 months, you hit the reset button. Okay, so we're going to sit down and talk about what our expectations are, what we're committed to. And then everybody says they're in. You've got at least one couple after a number of months who's half-hearted. They don't do their work. They come to group sporadically. The wife never comes to the group. Another one, a guy's been a believer for 10 years, been in your group a number of years, but he just never seems to be able to have time to practice any of the spiritual disciplines. Have a quiet time once in a while, just to be able to say that he did. And usually there's a good reason for that. It's a busy week. There's a lot going on. You know, our kids were sick, whatever it might be. And so does any of that sound familiar? Yes? All right. My community would say it does, because I've done some of those things in the past. And so, you know, one of the first things to remember is that we're not calling folks to watermark standard of community. We're calling them to God's standard. And so, you know, Revelation 3, 15 and 16 is the passage that just talks about, man, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. Because if you're if you're lukewarm, I will want to spit you out of my mouth. And I think what God is saying there is, man, don't confuse people and don't confuse yourself. Either follow me and be in with me, or declare that you're not, because you're going to confuse yourself towards judgment, and you're going to confuse a lot of people who are listening to what you say and watching what you do. John 14, 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he's the one that loves me. You see it again in 1 John 2, 3 through 6. We know that if we've come to know him, we're going to keep his commandments. And the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same way that he walked. And so, you know, one of the things that I always tell myself is obedience is not legalism. And so to call folks to obedience is what we want to do. But we want to do it in a proper and appropriate way. And, you know, we had a situation just a couple of days ago that we got to jump in on with a single gals community, and the girl was dating a non-believer, and he's moving to Dallas, and they've decided they're going to live together. And so the community had continued to try to love her and call her to what God calls her to. And her reaction was, number one, you know, don't you guys have better things to spend your time on than things like this? And then the second response was, look, I just go ahead and yank my membership, because I want to be part of a church that loves me, not part of a church that's going to judge me with legalism. And so, again, I think the reality is we are all prone to delude ourselves to do what we want to do. And we're all prone towards apathy and idleness. It's just our sin nature. And so what I've done is given you five things that we'll walk through just to help you navigate. Okay, so how do we deal with issues? And again, that's one degree. A lot of times those things are not quite as black and white as that one is. And so, you know, the thing to remember that I always tell myself is that, you know, people don't change people. God changes people. But he often uses people to accomplish his purposes. And so I'm accountable for what I do. I'm not accountable for how people respond. But I am accountable to love people. And so we're going to walk through the balance of, you know, we talk about grace and truth. And so just the practicality of what that is. And I love, you know, we always talk about John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, you're to love one another. And then 35 is, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, by the way you love one another. And so loving people is being gentle and patient and compassionate and kind, and it's speaking truth. And so point one, love and be patient. You know, remind them of truth in a loving and gentle way. So Proverbs 27, 5 through 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And so, again, just in an appropriate way, reminding folks of what truth is. And it's not out of the realm of possibility that folks are not doing what God calls them to because they're not a believer. And you see that Matthew is one of my favorite books because it walks through in Matthew 7, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about, you know, many will say, Lord, Lord, did I not do all these acts in your name? And God says, man, I never knew you. Again, so you will know them by their fruit. Matthew 13, you see the same thing in the parable with the wheat and the tares where Jesus says, man, don't rip them up, but by the way, okay, there are going to be folks among you that don't know me, that are deluded to think they are. Again, they're lukewarm, potentially. You see it again in Matthew 25 with the sheep and the goats. You know, again, the goats saying, hey, didn't we do all these things in your name? I never knew you. And so we actually, I was with Johnny Sunday, and we jumped in with a group that had been together for 4 or 5 years, and one of the guys in the group, by this group partly doing this, just raised his hand and said, hey, you know what? I figured out I'm not even a believer. I don't believe any of this stuff. And so the great thing about that, number one, is to celebrate that, because you'd much rather him recognize and acknowledge that, because that journey is a whole lot different. And number two, he's, you know, one of the first things his wife said is, don't be a lazy atheist. You know, if that's what you're going to do, then man, let's, I want to go on the journey with you. We want to jump in as part of your community. Let's go to Great Questions and some of the other things to wrestle through that. So again, just recognize they may not be a believer. Number two, engage and pursue them. You know, meet with them, invite them, email them. This gets back to a lot of what you all talked about on the week one of just the ways we engage. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. You know, we encourage you to admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Again, it's just that guide of grace and truth and engaging with them. Matthew 18:12-13. I love the story because it's right before you get to the conflict passages that we use. You know, right before that, Jesus told them, you know, the parable of the lost sheep. And so it talks about the sheep that's gone astray. And so that's what this is, to some extent, apathy and lukewarmness. The sheep that goes astray, that parable that Jesus tells is they pursue him. They go find him. They initiate and engage. There's more rejoicing over the one that's turned back than the 99 that didn't leave. And so this is our job description as followers of Christ, as folks in community that are loving people, to pursue folks when they're straying. Number three, pray for them and call them to what Christ calls them to. 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so just recognize these folks may have never been discipled. You know, it may be that they've just never seen it before. When you have people say in a group, "Hey, just to let you guys know, I don't do community. I don't do conflict. And so I know you guys do that, and that's not something I do. Or I know you guys are going to do money wise, and you're going to get into the money thing. And just to let you know, that's between us and God. And so we'll either not come those weeks, or we'll come and listen, but we're not going to do that." And so people respond like that typically because they haven't been discipled. They haven't seen it modeled. And so just continue to model for them what's normative as a believer. Number four, offer to get help with them. Galatians 6:1-2 that you guys are familiar with. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one look into yourself, so that you will too not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Again, it's the picture of engaging, loving, and helping people. Dean and I were talking yesterday, again, just about the way that, you know, Paul puts in verse 9, again, and don't grow weary of doing good. Man, keep doing it. Keep loving people. a number of groups that jump in at Re-Engage or community groups that where there's an issue and they just say, hey, let's all get equipped. Let's all do this together. We've got, Lucina and I are doing a foundation group right now, and the gals in there were struggling with spiritual disciplines. And so they're going through Equip Disciple together. And so, again, look for opportunities just to bear each other's burdens by walking through that with each other. And then number five, again, just continue to be healthy yourself. Don't change the pace that you're running. A lot of times we can tend to gravitate towards the lowest common denominator. And so, you know, if there's somebody that only comes once a month or they have an excuse, we were talking earlier about, you know, that's our bingo night, so we can't come, then we tend to say, well, if that's what they're going to do, then you know, we got something that we could go to too, so we're just not going to go either. Man, don't do that. Continue to be healthy yourself. Don't change the pace that you're running. 1 Timothy 4:7-8, have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women, but discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things. For it holds a promise for this life and the life to come. So keep practicing and doing the things that are going to be healthy for you. Again, inviting them in. And I think a lot of times what happens over time when you've got folks that are hesitant and tentative is they'll either, again, as we love them, as we shepherd them, as we care for them, as we encourage them and engage with them and call them, because it's easy to spiral in discouragement when, you know, dadgummit, I didn't have a quiet time again this week. Hey, guess what? We got a new week. And so let's forget about what lies behind. Let's run the race this week. And so calling them and encouraging them. And so, again, just looking for opportunities to do that. But I think a lot of times, over time, folks will get worn out, kind of like this girl did that I mentioned in this community group. And a lot of times, we don't have to figure out when do I hit the eject button and just tell these people they can't be in our group anymore. Again, I don't see that. There's a few small exceptions, but for the most part, you don't see that in Scripture. You see, again, calling folks in gentleness. But I think over time, what happens is like this gal that I mentioned, they just say, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. Okay? Or they might declare, I'm not interested in what you guys are doing. And that, you know, again, it's allowing folks to self-elect. It's, I'm accountable for what I do and how I love people. I'm not accountable for how they respond. And so lastly, you know, one of the things we did as elders and our wives, we're in community together and we've been in community for a long time. And we just, you know, we memorized Titus 3:3 together. Because it was just a good reminder for us as we jumped into different things that we were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy. And, you know, I sometimes think back to where I was 15 years ago. And, you know, a lot of the things that I describe is where I was. I hadn't been discipled. I had a misunderstanding of what it looked like. I had settled for what I thought was following Christ, didn't understand abundant life. And so I just had folks model that, engage with me, encourage me, and help me. And so, again, just be reminded that we're all hopefully continually being sanctified and we're growing. And we want to come alongside and be a part of that for others. And by the way, God's going to grow us as we do that. And so anyway, this hopefully will help foster some great communication discussion for you guys in your groups of just where you guys are and, you know, how you have helped each other. Maybe even piggybacking on last week, there may be some confession even that comes out of this. And so anyway, these verses are all great to be reminded of, and I have to be reminded of them all the time. And so, Father, I do thank you for just the ways that people are always going to disappoint us. And knowing that's true first and foremost for me, just in the ways that I disappoint folks. And I thank you for the ways that you tell us to put on a heart of compassion and gentleness and patience and forbearance and forgiveness and the ways that you model forgiveness perfectly in the way that you do all those things with us. And so help us just as imperfect people as we encourage and love each other. And thank you for the ways you are the model of perfect, unconditional, sacrificial love for us through Christ. Amen.